You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. AEW Dynamite After Show, and have we got a show for you. Toni Storm gets her face drawn on. We've got titles coming together being announced, and we even had Jon Moxley taking on the whole Don Callis family. But before we get into all that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined first by the Canadian heat magnet, Jimmy Corderas. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, Jimmy freaking Corderas with these glasses on. Well, I'm doing good. No, I'm doing good, guys. I'm doing good. You know, another episode of Dynamite. We're going to talk about that and a lot more. And I'm looking forward to it because I have a blast chatting with you guys.
Well, George Hermosa, our other guest, is getting all caught up on the current happenings of WCW NWO Thunder. This is the Prima's official.
Wow. This is a strategy guide for the Nintendo 64 game.
That was not a good one. Wow. Thunder was not one of the good ones.
George, just out of curiosity, George, I'm not asking for your address, but where do you live again? What area?
Los Angeles.
Oh, that's a long haul. I've got some old magazines you'd probably be interested in, some even some old calendars that have not been unwrapped.
So, I will pay for the shipping.
We will talk, my friend.
It'll at least keep George's gimmick fresh for a little bit longer.
Oh no, I got a ways to go before I run out. So
yeah, I know, a little bit of a vanity project. Everyone that has me in it somewhere, I kind of kept. So
hey, I don't blame you. I try to keep everything that has me in it. So I've got two things, but let's go ahead and get things going. We got a lot to discuss tonight, and I want to first just thank everyone who's joined us, who's here with us in the chat or just lurking along. Always appreciate you guys. Like, comment, share, subscribe. We got some news to chat about, and I'll be honest, I feel like we're beating a dead horse here, but you know what? That horse had it coming, so here we go. Jack Perry taunted CM Punk in Chicago with a Chicago flag and a Cry Me a River jacket, made an entrance, of course, for his match in Chicago with the jacket, with the flag. Also tried to do a GTS, Punk's signature move, during the match. Now, George, we've already had this long conversation about everything that's going on with AEW and the video they showed, all that good stuff. I believe Jack Perry may be the biggest winner of all this, because I feel like before he was someone that, you know, we knew and we liked. And even when he was a bad guy, we're like, yeah, we like him, but we'll support this kind of role he's playing. But now I feel like you feel strongly about Jack Perry one way or the other.
Yeah, especially coming out of last week. I wasn't here last week, and if I was, I would have preached that that was the worst episode of Dynamite I've ever seen. So coming off of that, everything's going to be up. Like, you can't get any worse than what we saw last week. And one of the things that we saw much, much better was the presentation of Jack Perry at Windy City. When I saw those clips of him coming out with the flag, him with the jacket, I was like, yes, like 1000% yes. This was everything that needed to happen for Jack Perry, and I cannot wait. And I'm making a prediction, early prediction, before we get into the late predictions later on in the show, that Jack Perry will be returning at Dynasty this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, I should have, you know, thank you for helping me. I buried the lead, folks. We're going to be doing Dynasty predictions at the end of the show. And I just want you guys all to know, never come in last place on a prediction. No, I don't win. Never come in last. So, you know, Jimmy, I'm curious your thoughts on this, because as I've said, I feel like this has been great for Jack Perry. I put all the other, you know, as George said, we could talk about last week's episode and all that aside. Jack Perry, I feel like, has some fire behind him, and he's doing what everyone says you should do, which is playing to what people are talking about in real life.
Well, let me start with the positives from this. And I agree with George with what he says is capitalize on the moment. And that's exactly what Jack Perry did. He's the iron's still hot right now. So why not take advantage of it? So he did all that stuff with the Crimea River jacket and the Chicago flag and trying the GTS, got the crowd going, and they bought into it for now. The only problem I have with it is, what's the payoff going to be? There is no payoff, because he got the crowd chanting at one point CM Punk. Mm-hmm. The guy who's one of the biggest stars in the other company that you're not going to be able to do business with in the future to capitalize on this situation and make some real money. So, you know, it's kind of like, okay, it's cool for the moment. I get what you're trying to do. But at the same time, like I said, what's the big payoff? And I don't see one in the future for him.
Well, I think this is where I'm coming from here is I think that we care about Jack Perry. Like I was saying before, I feel like we've always liked him. We just thought, okay, he's fun. We'll dance to his theme song, whatever. And then even as he was kind of transitioning onto the other side of the tracks, we were like, oh, this is cool. But like, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe that he was a jerk. Now, yes, we were chanting the wrong name, but I think this is one of those things you start with to get the ball rolling so that people now either really love you or really hate you. Cause I think, by the way, I think people have made their mind up on Jack Perry. They like him or hate him. And I don't think there's going to be anything to change that. Right. Yeah, anytime in the future. Now, obviously, the trick will be eventually converting that and changing that to where they're just booing him and not talking about anyone else's name. And I think that's top of mind, because he did not hit the GTS. And I tried and he failed. I think if he was really trying, if he didn't understand, I think he would have hit the move and kind of kept it going. But the fact that he failed at it, I think, shows there's a little bit of understanding that he can't, this isn't something he's going to be doing forever. You know, he didn't like win with the move.
I would have rather him hit the move and not win with it. Have his opponent kick out of it.
Kick out at one.
Yeah, exactly. And just like pop up and almost like no sell it like they do everything else. But anyways, that's another story for another day. But I would have almost preferred that.
I think he just respects Kenta too much to do that.
If it was a different opponent, maybe it would have happened. Yeah, I think you're right.
No, but I get what you're saying there. That's like good stuff. Let me know in the chat, everyone, what are your thoughts on how Jack Perry has handled himself since the video footage has been released? And just let us know, do you like that he kind of leaned into the controversy, or do you think he should have left that in the past? We got a bunch of folks coming through here. Again, we're going to do our dynasty predictions at the end. Tony Khan was asked about the footage that they showed last week. Now, I don't think last week's episode was the worst ever, but I am on the record of saying I don't think they should have shown that video. Tony Khan, on the other hand, says it made a lot of sense. He talks about the feud with FTR and the Young Bucks, and talks about how last time they wrestled and how it impacted their ability to win the match. I stand by what I said, Jimmy, and I think you do too. I don't think there's anything Tony Khan could have said here that would have changed your mind outside of ratings came back and we got 7 million viewers or something like that. I feel like this is like what you're supposed to say, to be honest.
I know, but no matter what kind of spin you put on this and how hard you try to turn it into a positive, the fact is you made a mistake by showing that footage. Own up to me. I'd have more respect for Tony Khan if he said, you know what? You're right. Maybe it was a bad move to show that video. Maybe we could have alluded to it in a different manner without actually showing that footage, which basically proved Punk right with everything that happened in the video was exactly as he described it. Tell me something different. Like I said last week, without audio, without a backstory, knowing what the incident, what was the reason for the incident occurring, you can't make a judgment on, you point fingers at who's right, who's wrong, and that sort of thing. And you took valuable TV time away from other talents that you're struggling to get on television to help get them over by being, you know, it just felt petty is what it felt like. And I get Tony was trying to, you know, put his spin on it and try to turn it into a positive. And even the angle afterwards with FDR coming to the ring and cutting a passionate promo, doing their best to make it about them and the Bucks. It's still that video still lingered in everybody's mind and just said, no, they just, why?
Yeah, George, two questions for you. One, is there anything Tony Khan could have said that that would have made you feel like he's right in this situation? Is it even possible? One, and then two, I don't know how you could say AEW's week last week was the worst ever when we had Cash Wheeler wearing a Bart Simpson shirt calling the Young Bucks Rod and Todd Flanders.
I mean, can you name me one where that's worse?
Oh, I don't have a Waldorf
instead.
Dynamite 49 was pretty bad. Like, do we know what that was?
And plus the Will Ospreay comment didn't help. I just didn't like that. He's got one of the biggest matches coming up, and all anybody can talk about was Triple H and Stephanie, and that just was just, yeah, like what are you doing here? I'm torn because I feel like Tony Khan is one of those guys that just like to save face. And I feel like a lot of what he's been saying in the interviews about it and the Young Bucks as well, because they were interviewed as well. It's all storyline. It's all like, well, if you've been watching closely, you'll see that the Young Bucks weren't able to pray before their match, which is why they happen to lose against FDR. It's like, come on, dude. Like, what are we doing here? I think I'm not going to say it made it worse. But I mean, I applaud him for trying, but I don't really think there's really much that he could have done anyways. It was pretty low. So I guess you can say there's really nowhere to go but up.
Yeah. If I may really quickly hear it, the problem is they're not looking forward and they're not ignoring the negatives. And I've said this many times. I've said it on my Ref and Rants and everything. A ship does not sink because of the water around it. It sinks because of the water that gets into it. And right now they're letting that water in. They need to plug the holes, steer the ship in the right direction, focus on them and their company and their talent because they have a great roster. There's no doubt about it. You can't deny that. Men and women in that roster, focus on them and forget about what's going on around you. Forget about the outside noise.
Well, speaking of getting in, there's a tag team that might be getting in to AEW. Bodyslam.net reports that Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, aka the Motor City Machine Guns, are finalizing a deal to join AEW. While it's noted that there would be a period before the deal was closed, Shelley and Sabin are said to have made their decision, with only the particulars left to be worked out before the duo become All Elite. Jimmy, I feel like the truth of the matter is particulars can be very particular sometimes, so don't count your chickens. But that said, I think if they're able to score the Motor City Machine Guns, that's a big win for AEW. I think not only are they fantastic both individually and as a tag team on air, I've had the chance to work with them at a few shows. They're great to be in the locker room. I just think that this is a huge score for them if it's true.
It absolutely is, if it is true, because these are guys who can go. Not only are they great in the ring, like you said, they're great in the locker room. They're guys that work well with everybody, can help elevate that tag team division. and they know how to do it right. I mean, I've been very critical of the tag team situation in AEW, not because they have terrible tag teams. They have great tag teams. It's just that the way the match is put together, for me, it is bothersome the way they utilize their referees. The heels don't utilize their referees. It's done in a way that doesn't make sense, and it doesn't put the heat on the right person. The heels are not getting the right heat. But here are the Motor City Machine Guns, who know how to do it right, and I think they'll be a great asset. And those youngsters out there in the locker room, pick their brain. These are guys you can learn from.
Yeah, really, really good dudes. It's so funny, man. They're one of those teams, George, that make me feel old, because like I still remember them as being like the young, cool, up and coming team. And then even as Jimmy was saying youngsters, I was thinking, oh, he's referring to the Motor City Machine Guns. I was like, no. The youngsters should be talking to the Motor City Machine Guns. Like, oh my gosh, where's the time gone?
Well, for me, they are youngsters, but anyway.
But George, what are your thoughts on the Motor City Machine Guns possibly going to AEW?
I think it's great. I don't know if you remember this, Jack, because I know you're a big WCW guy. Back in the year 2000, there was this weird storyline between Booker T and Harlem Heat on who can have the custody of the letter T.
Yeah, absolutely.
Booker T against Big T, Ahmed Johnson, and Big T ended up winning, so he just went by Booker for a little bit. I'm saying that because I can't wait to see the Motor City Machine Guns against the Gun Club to see who's going to get custody of the word gun. With that said, I'm excited to see the Motor City Machines come in. I think they're going to be a great addition to the tag team division. I mean, that goes without saying. And it's funny that I'm sure a lot of people thought that maybe there was an option between WWE and AEW, and again, I'm just guessing here, just pure speculation, just because of their experience, and we kind of see what guys like Bobby Roode and Eric Young, you know, did in WWE, maybe more of a backstage role. I'm kind of thinking that maybe, again, I'm just guessing here, I have no idea, but maybe if there was talks with WWE, they probably wanted them more of like a student coach or a trainer, player coach kind of role, where maybe put him in NXT, kind of have him there for a little bit. And if that's the case, I don't blame them for going to AEW, because they probably feel like they have a lot more to offer than being that player coach kind of role that they wanted for some like an Eddie Kingston back maybe 4 years ago, things like that. I know we saw Alex Shelley not too long ago in NXT teaming with Kushida. So obviously they know who he is. They know of him. They know about him. But yeah, I think this is going to be a really big get for the AEW.
I always say, when it comes to where people sign, you know, sometimes you see people say like, oh, this team's better here, or they should have gone there, or this is, I never get into those conversations, because, and Jimmy, you know, cause you've been there, they know what all their options are. They've heard all their options, and they also know better than anybody what they particularly want. Mm-hmm. And so if they're choosing AEW, I don't know what their options were. That is probably what they viewed as the best option for what they wanted. So if they're happy, I'm happy. Exactly. But what are your thoughts on like people choosing where they sign?
Well, that's what it is. It's about fitting in where you think you'll fit in best, and where you think you'll be utilized to your full potential, where some guys might think, well, if I go here, you know, the machine might lose faith in me or something like that. But if I go here, here's a company where I have a little more creative freedom. I could do what I want to do and kind of do it my way, because a lot of guys want to find their way. And I applaud them for that. I don't like, you know, I hate to go back to the last week deal where, you know, talk about the grind and stuff like that. And I had an issue with that, because, you know, when you talk about the grind, you know, flying 8 to 10 hours from England in first class to appear at a show is not the grind. How about leaving home the day before everyone else does, to be there to make sure that the ring is there, set it up, referee all night, pack it in the truck, and then drive to the next town and do that, fly home on Wednesday morning, and then leave on Friday afternoon every week. That's a grind. So for him to complain about a grind, look, I didn't take the bumps that the boys took, but I logged every mile and then some. So I know, well, I know about grind.
Well, the real grind, I think everyone wants to know, Jimmy, is Terry Allen Jr. with the Super Chat wants to know, Jimmy, are your earbuds no longer functioning?
No, they are, but I found the old school headset, and I figured I'd give them a shot for 1 week at least and see how they work.
Yeah, but let us know how it sounds.
I was going to say, it's the old school telemarketer look.
There you go.
I'm speaking going of to tell them.
Don't get me started. Oh man, we're getting those spam calls all the time now, and it's driving me crazy.
I was going to say, speaking of telemarketing, give us 5 stars on on Apple, or leave a like, comment, share, a subscribe. If you're someone who is lurking, I want to give you a special shout out to all the lurkers there. Please, a 5-star review would be incredible. And of course, those reviews and comments. Let us know, by the way, your dynasty predictions in the comments. That's going to be our big one tonight. If you're in the chat, whether you're Brianne Milligan, J.R. Smith, Angie Schindel, Tommy O, Majestic Marie, Ethan Cruz, Daniel Barry, Chase Backman, Carrie Johnson, Killer of Demons, Fernando, Secular Belt, Laura Rock, Huffman Elite Training, Terry Allen Jr., I'll give you a shout out too. Sonny Sitar, Beer Money, Blue Chew, Carl Ledoux. Is it Ledoux or Leduc? Jimmy, you know him. I always mess up the last name.
Ledoux? Sounds French.
Leduc. Oh, so I was right. I tried to, Carl, I always try to get too fancy. I always try to, Leduc. But it's Leduc.
I do want to add something really quick in regards to
stalking you, Jacob Henderson, KCJ, Beer Money, Jacob Henderson. I may have said some names already, but I got to get them all in there. 5-star reviews, everybody. Now, George, what were you going to say?
I do want to add one more quick thing from the Motor City Machine Gun thing. Like around 10 years ago, somebody was kind of tweeting out there like, oh, the Young Bucks will never be successful if they never go to the WWE. And I kind of chimed in and I'm like, you can't define somebody else's success. Like only they can pretty much, like, people have goals, people have aspirations. That's theirs. That's not anyone else's for them to decide. So Young Bucks, obviously extremely successful in terms of, you know, doing whatever they want to do in their careers. And same thing applies for Mortar City Machine Guns. They probably feel that they don't need that WWE run to feel like they're validated or to feel like they're going to be a success. And like you said, Jack, like these guys know what's best for them. No one else does. These guys do. And I'm sure they, you know, came together and decided what was best for them together as a team.
I think today, in this day and age especially, there's no one way to define success in really any business. But wrestling is one of those things as well. I mean, you look at a lot of guys like Matt Cardona, for instance, who has completely blazed his own trail. You look at people like Effie, who's doing the same thing, blazing his own trail. And that's not even talking about being in one of, you know, what we consider like the big, you know, companies. They're doing their own thing. And so I absolutely think that there is no one right way. Now, to some people, if you said, yeah, but it's my dream to main event WrestleMania, that's great too. Mm-hmm. That's a great dream to have. So yeah, I don't think there's one way anymore, especially in this day and age.
You brought up a great example in Matt Cardona, and obviously he's following that path. He's following what he wants to do and blazing his own trail and doing a hell of a job. And you take a guy like Drew McIntyre. He had to leave the machine for a little while to go find himself, and now he's back, and he's hitting home runs every week.
Yep.
What about that guy Cody?
Oh, I remember. Name sounds familiar.
Whatever happened to him?
Yeah, Cody Hall, Scott Hall's kid.
No,
I thought Cody Fletcher showed up tonight. We'll talk about that later. Anyways,
Armando coming in a little bit late. Motor City Machine Guns are rumored to be signed with AEW. So we will see if that happens, though. Let's talk about the show. And again, everyone, just because we've already passed the shout outs doesn't mean you can't give us a 5-star review. We start with, we got a super chat, by the way. Steve Engblom says the Dodgers stink. Shohei should have been a J.
Maybe Shohei.
I don't know. I don't watch baseball. So
I guess he means Toronto Blue Jay.
George, yeah, because there was that rumor that Shohei signed with the Blue Jays, and literally that was just rumors, but it kind of went a little viral before signing with the Dodgers the next day.
Well, I mean, that's kind of
that's why I remember it for only a minute.
Machine Guns.
That's why I only remember for a minute, George.
Stephen Camp with a really good question: why a 5-star review when you guys deserve a 10-star?
Well, I agree. Thank you, Steve.
I agree, Stephen. Yeah. Let's talk about
five.
John Moxley, the IWGP World Champ, says he won his first title in a bingo hall down the road, and it's been an uphill climb ever since. Challenges the Don Callis family to some violence, challenges Will Hobbs, specifically to a match next week. George, I'm going to start with you. I want your thoughts on Jon Moxley being the IWGP champion and on Dynamite TV, AEW TV Dynamite. I want you to, when you answer this question, put aside too many titles in AEW, because we have that conversation every week, and so I'm bored of it. So just the idea of the IWGP champion having the championship on TV.
Pros and cons. Pros, I love it. Like, this is so cool to see another major company's championship featured on AEW. Jon Moxley obviously is a huge star, rightfully so, deserves any accolade that he gets. So I loved it from that aspect of it. The con is I think it should be a bigger deal. Like, because you got to think, like, is New Japan on the same level of an AEW? Is it, do they step, look at it as a step down? Like, is he, I don't know. So I just feel like this to me, like, imagine back in the day, right? Like, you know, Hogan, Flair, like when you had those champions, if Flair showed up on the other network, which it did happen with the championship, that was such a big deal, or vice versa. Like, that was like so huge. So to me, the IWGP champion showing up on another federation, that should be like huge, ginormous news. And the fact that it just like, oh, Moxley's back and he's the world champion. Like, I don't know. I just feel like they undersell it. I think it should be a lot bigger deal than what it's. But with that said, I liked it. I just feel like it should have been more.
I kind of disagree. I feel like Moxley's one of their biggest stars, and he opened the show with it and cut a promo about it. But Jimmy, you're the ref. You got to make the decision. I have some comments, though, I want to share.
Okay.
I took an official poll on Twitter and or on X.
It's Twitter. Forget Twitter. That X stuff. It'll always be Twitter.
It'll always be Twitter to me. At Justin Magnifico says, it makes their AEW championship look subpar if they're treating another companies as a big deal. Concentrate on your own product. Mm-hmm. At Jason Scabaris says, more wrestling companies need to showcase more titles from other shows on theirs to show they have the best stars on their show. Push hard how important the belt is. I like it. And finally, there's three because you're the ref. You got to make the decision here.
Okay.
At OB1156 says, since they do a pay-per-view with that company and need to sell tickets, I think it's okay. So we got a bad, a good, and a shrug. You're the ref. Call it down the middle. What do you think about IWGP Championship?
I may have to go time limit draw on this one, because there are positives and negatives to it, as George said. Yes, the positives are you are showcasing a championship from another promotion. It is a major promotion, especially in Japan, as everybody knows. But it's still not as widely known in the United States and North America. You know, the hardcore wrestling fans know all about it because they follow along. But the more I hate to use the word casual fans. There's got to be a better term for it nowadays.
Yeah.
In 2024. But you know what I mean? The broader audience that may not be as fully aware. They may know they exist, but they're not on their radar too much. That it's good to showcase that in some form or fashion, but you can't overshadow your own championship at the same time. That's the tough thing. Yes, you want to make it feel like it's an important title, but don't overshadow your own. And I think they did an okay job of Jon Moxley, you know, pumping up the tires and giving the rah-rah speech about the championship and it being a goal of his. But at the same time, I thought, we'll talk about it, that I think Samoa Joe and Swerve did a heck of a job to make the AEW world title feel more important.
Yeah, absolutely. They did an incredible job. We absolutely will talk about that. Beer Money, which says, Mox seemed fresh tonight because he's been gone a bit. He needed to step away for a bit. I actually agree with that. I felt like it was kind of nice to see him now. Like, oh, I haven't seen him in a bit. We'll talk about Blackpool Combat Club in a little bit. But I agree. I think it's kind of cool that he stepped away, but also being able to come back with a championship is like, oh, he's been doing well since we last saw him. Kind of interesting.
I would have liked to maybe them done something with that, though. Just have, say, hey, Moxley, you know, the world, because obviously the AEW World Championship should be the number one priority for everybody. But, you know, I would have liked Moxley to say, like, hey, listen, like, I know that's a little jam-packed right now. Maybe I'm not the number one or number two guy, so I'm going to go conquer somewhere else in the meantime. So that way maybe we can follow his progress and then just kind of come back. Oh, he won. Like, I don't know. I just feel like, again, I it's cool. I just wish it was a bigger deal. But again, without, you know, pushing the AEW World Championship aside.
Right. I feel like that makes it sound like he doesn't feel like he's good enough to be the AEW champion. Like, I feel like if you're a Moxley, you don't care that it's a crowded field.
But when the last one, you know, was Adam Page, Samoa Joe, and Swerve, and the next one's already announced as Samoa Joe and Swerve, like, he can't just insert himself in the championship picture. So, hey, let me go get busy somewhere else.
Let me know in the chat if you agree with George on that one. I don't know if I agree with you, but we got to move on because we've got dynasty predictions at the end, and we're going to keep track of who wins. And by we, I mean somebody else. We get a promo package from Mercedes Moné, who alludes to her being attacked by Julia Hart because the lights went out. We then go on to the mixed tag match that was advertised, Adam Copeland and Willow Nightingale versus Brody King and Julia Hart. Willow was attacked before the match, so it's really just going to be Adam Copeland, and Brody King sneak attacks him with the lights going out. Brody King basically just beats the brakes off of Adam Copeland for a while before Willow Nightingale gets tagged in. Julia Hart uses a chain to knock her out, and the House of Black still gets the win. After the match, Mercedes comes out to confront Willow, but before hitting her with the chair, sees Copeland and thinks twice about it. Jimmy, I kind of said this last week with Willow and Adam Copeland. I want to double back on this again with Adam Copeland. I don't think this match is going to get enough credit for Adam Copeland, who is a legend, a Hall of Famer, getting the brakes beat off him by a Brody King, and how good that makes Brody King look.
Yeah, because Adam Copeland right now doesn't need the rub from anybody. He's the one who gives everybody else a rub, and that's exactly what he did for Brody tonight. He made him look like a midget. He made him look like a beast, and that's his job. He sold his butt off in the right way and let everything marinate, let the audience take it in and absorb it and go, oh my goodness, what's going on here? I've never seen Adam take this kind of a beating before. And that's his job. That's what he did. As far as making it a mixed tag, a little bit different than I expected because, you know, coming from the other world where, you know, you don't have the men and the women get physical in the ring in that way. So it was interesting to see that. I just thought again, being nitpicky here, I thought the referee distraction was done poorly. It could have been a little more creative in some form or fashion to distract the referee so that Julia Hart could use the chain on Willow to get the win. That was a little, I don't know. I just, hey, come over here and sit with me. No, there's ways to do it where you get the heat where it's supposed to be on the heel, not on the referee. I think that it took a little bit of the allure away from it.
Yeah, the Tuck says Jimmy knows how to be distracted.
Darn right I do. Hey, I worked. I lie, cheat, and steal all those years. I know how it's done.
So George, I wanted to reiterate too, and kind of make sure that everyone understands. I'm with Jimmy on this. When I say that Brody King beat the brakes off Adam Copeland, I'm saying it like Adam Copeland is being a real pro. Like, because I'm sure he could have thrown his weight around, being like, I'm going to beat this kid up and I'm going to, you know, come out looking like a star. But now Brody King has a win over a Hall of Famer and he looked dominant. It wasn't some cheeky little win by being crafty. It was, he kind of beat up this dude and he looked great doing it. So I'm trying to give Adam Copeland his flowers by saying that. I'm not trying to say negative things because, you know, it could be read weird. George, I'd love your thoughts on the tag team match. And what I thought was clever here was how they kept Willow and Julia Hart apart the way they set this up. Now, of course, there was the distraction, which was a little wonky, but I thought it was smart to, like, do this so that we never actually see Willow and Julia Hart mix it up.
I think it just mostly they want to wait till Dynasty to kind of get them in the mix. A lot of you know, whodunit nowadays, obviously with Mercedes. My prediction will be Chris Stantlander. I don't see Willow being the one to have done that last week. It just so I can't see Willow as a heel, nor do I want to. Because obviously, mm-hmm. you think of somebody like a Bailey who like, oh man, I don't see her as a heel. I'm sure she was like challenge accepted, and I'm sure Willow would be the same thing. I just don't want to see it as a heel for at the moment, at least. So I mean that's got my attention for the most part. But yeah, as far as a tag match goes, I thought it was great. I mean, Brody King, he's one of those guys that knows how to maximize the time that he's out there. Like, he knew what he needed to do, and kudos to Edge. I've been critical on Sting. I know I'm probably one of the few. I don't think he should have been undefeated in AEW. His matches kind of became predictable.
What'd you say, George? Oh no, George. Oh, no. I'm sorry.
What happened to George?
I'm sorry.
Where'd he go?
George. How dare you besmirch Sting? He's one of my all-time favorites.
What was he, 30-0? Like, what? He could. It would have been fine if he was 28-2. That's all I'm saying.
I will not listen to this.
George. It's a good point, because imagine if he was, let's say, 29-1. Mm-hmm. That one that defeated Sting would have meant the moon for them.
With that said, I'm enjoying Edge, Adam Copeland's run, because the match has become a little unpredictable. I'll get into predictions later, but now I'm to the point where I don't know who's going to win that six-man match, because I'm thinking like, oh, they always like to make the veterans look good. They want to give them props, pay tribute to them. Now it's like, oh, wow, that can really go either way, and I'll give my prediction at the end. But yeah, so when I see somebody like Edge, and I know it was the result of Willow tapping out, that's still going to go down in the record books that I'm still trying to find on eBay. Brody and Julia defeating Willow and Adam Copeland.
So we had some comments here, George, about your comments earlier. Tut Graf says, I agree with George on that one. Danny Cochran says, Jimmy needs to disqualify George. and Blue Chew says, I'm kind of leaning Hermosa here. AEW should be using it better. It's like they went from this is the badass stuff we do here to we do this all the time, and even we're used to it now.
It's just something where I'll give me like 10 seconds. AEW is like the main priority. It shouldn't be watch AEW. It's such an influx of all these different companies coming together. Like, it should be AEW should be the top priority for whatever it is that happens. And yeah.
And then Jordan Kirby saying, are we seeing Swerve as AEW champ? Well, we'll talk about that during our prediction segment. So make sure you're there. Jordan, do you think Swerve is winning? Stephen Camp saying, Jack, are you going to Wrestle Dream in Tacoma October 12th? Of course, you guys, if you don't know, I'm from Tacoma. That's my hometown. That's my stomping grounds. So I would love to go. You know, I hear Tony Khan watches the show. I'd love to help out with Wrestle Dream, buddy. Shoot me a DM, pal. I'm shooting my shot. But let's keep this going. Let's get back into the show. Maybe the people I should be talking to are the real bosses at AEW, the Young Bucks. They cut off a video for FTR, and they remind us that they are veterans of the ladder match before they have a six-man tag against Daniel Garcia, Penta El Zero, Miedo, and Pac. It's fast-paced. Bucks get on commentary. The Elite eventually get the win before they can beat up Daniel Garcia. Pac chases him off with the bell hammer. Jimmy, I feel like I know there are certain things you don't like about this match. I feel like I already know what you're going to say, but I'm going to let you say them anyways. But I feel like this is absolutely it was athletic, don't get me wrong, but this was definitely more of a kind of an entertaining part of the show, more so than a serious athletic contest. Does that make sense?
No, it absolutely makes sense. I get what you're saying, but I want to ask you, I'm going to twist the tables on you. What is it you think that I didn't like? I want to see how well you know this man.
I was going to say the referee and the fact that people are getting in and out of the ring like crazy, but
it's the unfortunate thing that does kind of ruffles my feathers a little bit, but I'm almost becoming immune to it, and that's not good. The, you know, but I get where they're going. This was supposed to be that type of match. That's what they wanted to do and entertain their audience that way. And they bought into it, and that's fine. The thing I like most about it was, like you said, before the match, them cutting off the video, going, you know, acting like the EVPs. What I, you know, but here's the thing I didn't like about that segment, that prior to the match, there's Tony Khan sitting right there. Mm-hmm. And he just, they almost reaffirmed what everybody's been saying. These guys do what they want. Tony Khan's supposed to be the boss. Why not Tony Khan step up and say, no, we're running that video. You guys are the EVPs, but I'm the boss here. Take charge. Look like you're in charge of something.
Is that not good, though? Like, because it kind of plays into the reality of the perception?
No, because now you're validating that perception where the inmates are running the asylum. Which is what a lot of people are critical of about AEW these days.
What are your thoughts, George? What are your thoughts on the match, and what are your thoughts on that? I thought it was hilarious that they cut off the FTR's video package. It would have been, you know, them selfish of them to play a video that's just about what you know about them.
I thought it was pretty creative. Yeah. I dug it, but like I totally tuned out when Tony Khan was just there, just kind of, all right, well, play the music. I don't know. It did throw me off a little bit. It's just one of those things where at the end of the day, he didn't need to be in that shot. I get if they're going to go with trying to make it realistic, then like Jimmy said, he should have been more reactionary toward what was happening. But what are we doing with Daniel Garcia?
Like, I here's love Daniel Garcia.
Like, yeah, he's good. He's great. But like this whole buildup of everything since the Continental Classic, and you know, he finally got that big win at the end, even though it didn't really matter. He finally got the big win. It's got some momentum. And like, why do you throw him into this match that he didn't really need to be in? Yeah, that part was just like, man, like, and I know it was probably building toward the match and Collision with, you know, Pac and FTR against the Bucks and Okada, but like, Garcia did not need to be in this match. Like, they could have got, I don't want to say anybody else, but like, he just, it's like, what are we doing? Just this off and on is just a little, that part is what threw me off when what was actually a good match.
I love Daniel Garcia. I think he could be an absolute superstar.
He's not going to be one if they keep putting in these matches, then he's going to take the L.
Well, I mean, it's better than not being in matches, if you know.
Well,
what I mean.
At the same time, if you're not utilizing him correctly, but George just sometimes somebody says something that triggers something, and yes, they're going into the pay-per-view. They're facing who? FTR. It's a six-man tag, so why not have them in Pac versus Okada, and you can do.
I believe they're doing that on Collision.
You know, I get.
I get what you're saying.
Do it on the where your biggest audience is. So they can see it and build something for the pay-per-view. Because it's going to be 3 hours on Saturday night of continuous wrestling. And that's tough on a Saturday night.
Yeah. Saturdays are tough in general. Jonathan Torres says they were missing Phoenix. Garcia was the replacement. Yeah, I understand that they were missing Phoenix. But I think to George's point is Garcia is a star. I think he's a star anyways. And George, correct me if I'm wrong, you think he's a star. And it's a disappointment when you see a guy who could be a star taking random L's instead of doing stuff that could elevate him or doing something bigger.
Like there's nothing wrong with, you know, taking the L or doing the job. But in this case scenario, when he's got such momentum coming off the Classic and doing a lot of cool things, this just means maybe it's a good thing that it means nothing because then people will forget. So
no, that's a good point, because as we've said it how many times, you can get over without going over. Mm-hmm. And Daniel Garcia was doing that for a little while. And now it's like you said, George, it's almost forgettable.
Yeah, he needs to find a way to find a story, something people that can sink their teeth into, because I think he isn't the problem. I think a story for him to play out for us is kind of the issue now, which is easier said than done. It isn't as easy as. You know, somebody like, yeah, just give him a story. You can't just have him just beat people. Like, that's everyone's thing. Just have him beat everybody. Like, well, that's not that easy.
No, it's like the old saying, sorry, but creative has nothing for you.
Mm-hmm. So we got Jericho and Hook in a meeting brokered by Taz. Jericho tries to convince Hook to let him teach him. Hook is not into it. Eventually, Jericho takes out frustrations on Taz. And then Hook makes Jericho, as the kids say, skedaddle.
They still do that? They still use that word?
I think so, right? George, I've asked other people this before, so I'm going to ask you. Jericho is one of my all-time favorites. I'm a big fan of Jericho. It's just not hitting for me right now. What's wrong?
What the? I feel like I'm saying it again. What the hell are we doing? Like, what is this? And again, I cannot say how much I am a big fan of Chris Jericho. I think he is literally one of the guys that has changed the business in the last 5, 6, 7 years. Mm-hmm. But why do we, by we, I mean, you know, AEW, as if we're a part of it. What is the necessity and just obligation to have Jericho like always featured in something? Oh, there's a pay-per-view coming up. We have to get him in a match. And like, this is just so forced. This just, that's what it is. I just feel like it's so forced. They just grab wrestler A and like, oh, let's, and I get maybe the story is, hey, we're going to have a story on the youngster not listening to the veteran. Yeah, that'd be great, but they're booing Jericho out the building because they probably see right through it. Like, and it just like, and I'm watching this segment. I'm like, great. They're like literally forcing Jericho or Jericho match on the pay-per-view for a championship that I think should be relinquished or completely. They should do away with it because it means nothing. You ask a random wrestler saying, well, what would it mean to you to be the FTW champion? Like what the hell? You know what I mean? Like this match is just going to be so, and I know it's there to push Hook, but I don't know. I don't know what we're doing here. I'm with you. I can't justify anything good regarding this upcoming match with Jericho and Hook.
Well, George's a little bit more upset about it than I am, Jimmy, but
more of a positive guy. So,
well, cause I'm looking at like, if I look at this on paper, if you came to me on paper, if you were the writer and said, Jack, here's the plan. You've got this veteran Jericho who has history with Taz, and Hook is Taz's son, and Jericho is going to try to take him under his wing and try to help him. But because Jericho's got a shady past, Hook isn't going to buy into it. Jericho's going to get upset. They're going to have a match, right? That sounds great. And there's nothing that they've done that makes me go, this isn't working. Like there's been no bad promos or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it is. It's just, I like to think with my heart, Jimmy, and like, this is my heart sinking into it. And it's just not, and I can't point to a reason why, but it's just not working.
Then that's the problem. If you're not sinking, if you're not invested, then it isn't working for you. And I get it. The diehards will buy into anything, but it's a weird dynamic for me because it feels like Jericho. Yes, we know his past. He can flip the switch right away. And who knows, he's going to turn and become that heel Jericho that we've all seen in the past, but he's coming off as the sympathetic babyface veteran who's really trying, and that's his role in AEW right now. He's the veteran in the locker room there to help elevate talent, and that's what they're playing on television. And Hook sitting in the corner, he's got the belt down, and he's kind of got one foot on it, which is kind of disrespecting it to any title belt, regardless of what it is, and eating a bag of something or other, some snacks and stuff. That's totally disrespecting, you know, the veteran. And having Taz there almost felt like a little bit, and I hate to say this because I love Taz. I really do.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
It almost felt like a waste having him in there because he didn't play a role, because there should have been maybe a little more interaction between Jericho and Taz before Jericho pushed him. And then Hook just stood there and stared at like tried to stare daggers at you, Chris, but it didn't work because I don't pretend to be a tough guy by any means. I am not. But if you pushed my dad, I don't care, storyline, whatever you're trying to tell, whatever story, you better be ready for a fight because it's on.
You took a shot from Road Warrior Animal. Don't act like you're not a tough guy.
Well, I was kind of laid out after that, but that's besides the point.
You don't need to mention that part.
but
the story ends. You got punched in the face, but you're still kicking, Jimmy.
Yeah, still taking a little bloody, but I took it.
You took a shot from the Big Show, and you're still here.
Yeah, my chest is still aching from it. there's still this gigantic handprint there from it.
I did though, just to kind of go on what Jimmy said, I did like the inclusion of Taz into it, but then the moment got dropped off when like Hook is just kind of there, like, get out of the ring, like, show some fire or something, like, dude, just push your dad, like, give me something, step out of your comfort zone, like, show me that you're more than just what your character is and just this kind of laid back tough guy, like, show me a little bit more, show me that you're more than one dimensional.
And I would have loved, like you said, George, when Hook said to Jericho, get out of my ring, Jericho should have looked at him and said, okay, I'm going to get out of the ring just this once, but never speak to me like that again. Mm. And kind of set the table there or something along those lines.
I think Taz was good to be in there because I think Jericho hitting Taz is what up the emotional stakes of this, and he did shove Jericho in the corner pretty aggressively, but I get what you're saying, George. It would have been better if I would have liked to have been the follow through on that to have been a bit, of course it's easy to nitpick, but I don't know. I feel like there's gotta be something that happens at Dynasty that's more than just I don't know. Something's gotta happen at Dynasty to bring this one home for me.
I would have liked it better, just because I feel like I said earlier, for maybe like someone else to accept maybe Jericho's offer as being a protege, and maybe that person could have come in and maybe faced off against Hook. I think that would have been better than what we're getting at Dynasty.
Is it because Jericho's kind of been a mentor to people his entire time in AEW, and it's sort of starting to just wear thin, you think? Because that's kind of what the Jericho, like what the Inner Circle was, what the Jericho Appreciation Society was. You know, you look at his relationship with Sammy Guevara. It's a little bit like, okay, we get it. You have people under your learning tree.
It was kind of different though in those iterations of Chris Jericho because it was more in a heel fashion. Now it feels like it's more genuine, where he wants to help the younger talent and you know, again, that perception that a lot of the younger talent doesn't listen to the veterans in the locker room. Again, playing to that niche audience who kind of might get that. But everybody else would look at it as, man, what a disrespectful little, you know what?
Yeah, it's, we'll have to see how, you know, I hate the, we'll see how it plays out. But I think if they can do something Dynamite that like brings it home, I might retroactively change my opinion. But for now, for whatever reason, it's just not hitting for me. Mariah May comes out and faces Deonna Purrazzo. They have a really good one. I can see both of them being champion at some point. But it ends with Deonna getting the pin. Tony attacks Deonna right afterwards. Thunder Rosa comes out and shellacks Tony and Mariah. She laid into him when she took him out. But then Deonna's upset about it, so they have a few words. Eventually, Tony ends up getting her face painted by Thunder Rosa. Lots of stuff here, but Jimmy, this is definitely the what I liked about this. Now, last week we commented we didn't like that there wasn't enough time spent on Thunder Rosa's face paint getting smudged. Right. I do like they brought it back and her kind of paid her back by putting makeup on Toni Storm. I thought that was a great story beat.
No, it's actually really good. I like that part because it was retribution for what happened last week, and it followed up on what happened last week. And that's what you have to do. You have to follow the storylines, keep them going. And what they're doing right now is, you know, Thunder Rosa is doing a good job of showing that aggression, that anger. And because she didn't lose the title. It was taken from her because of the injury and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I like where that is going. And I like that she keeps bringing that up and I like the fire and aggressiveness in her.
Yeah, it's and George, Mariah May, and as well as Deonna Purrazzo, they had the match here. But I also like that Deonna Purrazzo is none too thrilled about Thunder Rosa being around. And I feel like we're starting to get kind of a good nucleus around this championship.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I swear I'm not angry from the last segment. But yeah, I like that they're really starting to give a nice spotlight and showcasing the women who rightfully deserve it on a regular basis. Toni Storm's obviously a weekly highlight. Deonna, don't forget about her. I mean, just because she's on the spotlight doesn't mean she needs to be out of the spotlight, if you get my drift. Mm-hmm. And of course, Mariah May just impresses me every single week with that kind of Japanese blend of that American style and also obviously British style that she has. So yeah, this is one that I'm completely excited about. Yeah, Thunder Rosa, man, her strikes are vicious.
Yeah, as Adonde says, Rosa killed Luther. Yeah, she didn't hold anything back. She walloped those folks.
Lay them in, sister.
Killer Demons with the point that this is the thing I was kind of frustrated about, though. I was waiting for Mina Shirakawa to show up. George, did you watch last week? Do you know what was going on with Mina Shirakawa and Mariah May? Because there was this very specific thing that happened and no one explained it. And then nothing happened this week. And I was waiting for something to happen. And that gets a rare Jack Farmer. What the heck?
Well, I mean, don't say that out loud, because apparently we're all supposed to know everything about outside of, you know, the stardom and what happens, all that jazz. But yeah, I mean, a nice follow up would have been nice. I don't know who Mina Shirakawa is outside of what happened last week. So it would have been nice to have some kind of acknowledgement of what happened, or maybe of what's to come, or even tell me what to look for. I'll Google it. Yeah. I'll YouTube it, but just tell me what to look for, so I'm not just scrolling through thousands of clips of certain people.
So we, Armando says, Google it, Jack. Yeah. I mean, I don't need an in-depth thing. I just need to, like, what was she doing with the drinking champagne or whatever? And then is she coming back? I don't know. We got an interview with the six-man tag team champions, Jay White and the Guns. Jimmy, I've got a very difficult question for you. Whoa. Jay White and the Guns. Mm-hmm. What is the name of their group?
It's not what a is question. It? No. What do they call themselves? The Bang Bang Gun?
George, do you know what the name of the group is?
Isn't it just the Bang Bang Gang?
It's Bullet Club Gold. They never call themselves the Bullet Club Gold, though. They always call themselves Bang Bang Gang. So yeah. I don't know. I think that's funny. Like, I don't think they've ever referred to themselves as Bullet Club Gold. But when they come out, it says Bullet Club Gold. They have the gold bat, but they always call themselves Bang Bang Gang.
They're the Bang Bang Gang now because Juice Robinson is not there.
Oh, kind of like NWO is the Wolf Pack. If it's just the three, then it became the Wolf Pack.
And what is the deal with baseball bats? Why does everybody have to carry a bat? It seems like to be the weapon of the.
That one does have a story.
Well, yeah.
Theirs is because they took it from it was Sting's bat that Darby Allin.
Yeah, and they painted it gold.
So that one I'll give it to him.
Okay.
Jericho had a bat. I think he got rid of it probably because Sting was around. Maybe he still uses the bat. I don't know.
It's in the locker.
It's in the trunk of the car. Around. but they're going to have a matchup with the Acclaimed. It's going to be winner take all for the titles. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We got to roll through these because we do have to do our predictions for Dynasty. Mm-hmm. Orange Cassidy versus Shane Taylor. Story here is it's the first time Orange Cassidy does not have the best friends at his side, but Shane Taylor definitely has his promotions at his side. Cassidy gets the win. Shane Taylor gets revenge. And then when people try to stop it, Trent Beretta, speaking of shellacking people, just whacks some folks in the chair, and Shane Taylor promotions continue their attack. George, I know we as usual with AEW, there's been a lot of post-match shenanigans. This one I really appreciated, though, because I thought Shane Taylor promotions looked devastating. I thought Trent Beretta looked devastating, and it really felt, hey, Orange Cassidy, you're on your own. A lot of shenanigans. I think literally every match had post-match shenanigans, but I felt like this one was probably one of the most deserving of it. What about you?
It definitely, continue the story. Obviously, I was not expecting to see Trent Barrett out there, attacking Daniels and Seidel. But yeah, there was a lot of shenanigans. I'm hoping they go do a lot more with Shane Taylor Promotions. I like their spiel. Like I said, because I don't want it to go to waste. They beat Jericho, Hook, and Shibata on Saturday. And so why not keep going with that? I don't want them to be I like it that it means something, because imagine if, let's say 10 years ago, you had 3MB, you know, attack the Shield or the New Day. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, you guys are presented as just not losers, but they lose a lot. Mm-hmm. And now we're supposed to take you seriously. So I'm hoping that at least with the win that they had last week, and even though Orange Cassidy did win this week, that they're still presented in a way where people can take them seriously. So I think this segment accomplished a lot of that and further the Trent Barretta story, which I'm really looking forward to.
Jimmy, I want to talk to you about Shane Taylor. Armando says, I know Shane Taylor doesn't look like a typical star wrestler, but there's something there. And Burner Account says, Shane Taylor grew on me. He's a talent. I agree. I feel like Shane Taylor looks like someone who will knock you out if right. you mess with him. And not just how he looks, but how he carries himself. And I like this group, and I like Shane Taylor. I was sold on him in this one. What about you?
Again, here's a guy who got elevated tonight and resonated with the audience. And if I could make a comparison to someone from the other team, he reminds me a little bit of a Sheamus, a guy who's a brawler. He could beat you up. He could do a lot of good things. And that's an upside. That's not a knock on him.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying he's like, you know, it's a similar comparison, yeah, yeah. I think.
I get it.
And it works. It's working for him right now. And I think there is, like you said, there's something there. Take your time, let it marinate, let the audience absorb him and get to know him, and don't let him disappear for 2 weeks and all of a sudden people forget about him. Bring him back next week, let him do something else, keep him fresh in people's minds, whether it is on Dynamite, whether it is on Collision, wherever it may be. But as far as the match itself goes, again, I'm going to nitpick again. The whole referee distraction thing just makes me want to throw my remote at the TV sometimes. It just way too long, took far too long, and took me out of it.
What you need to do, Jimmy, is you get like a little pillow and you put it on the wall next to the TV.
Ah!
You just throw it at the pillow.
Okay.
It lands nice and soft. And I don't know, maybe you have a little bucket under the pillow so it falls in the bucket. You have a string tied to the bucket and you just pull the bucket back towards you.
And sometimes I almost feel like I have to bubble wrap my TV. Distorts the picture, though. That's the only problem.
Right.
I like Shane Taylor's theme song. Just want to throw it out there. It reminds me of a Mark Henry's theme song.
Oh, yeah. Mark Henry's got a good one, too.
Oh, my
or
God.
He had a good one. 3-6 Mafia. That's mm-hmm. that's a workout playlist.
Oh, my God. Banger. That's a pre-fight. Like, I if I was an MMA fighter, that'd be what I listen to before I come out there.
I would have it, but I'd hear the lyrics like, oh my God, is it me? Am I going to get my,
am I going to get my head split? Oh my God.
Am I getting my head split?
Is my wig going to come off?
Who's getting their wig split?
Somebody going to get there. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh man. What a good song. Will Ospreay faces Claudio Castagnoli, banger of a matchup as you'd expect. Don Callis' family shows up and tries to attack Claudio. Moxley fights him off, and he wants Hobbs. Hobbs says next week. Ospreay is very upset about the whole thing. Jimmy, first question for you. This one is going to be a tough one, just so you know, but I like to test you. Can you spell Claudio Castagnoli's last name without looking at it?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for throwing that one at me. Claudio, I can spell, but Castagnoli, C-A-S-T... I-N-I-O-L-I. I don't know. It's just a lot of A's and I's. And nope, not even close.
There's a G in there.
Oh, I forgot about it. See, because of the pronunciation, you forget about it.
C-A-S-T-A-G-N-O-L-I.
Wasn't even close.
I was writing in my notes. I had to Google it to look it up. So I was like, I was going to throw someone under the bus with that one.
I don't mind getting run over every once in a while.
I thought this was a good matchup. Of course, another outside interference or post-match
shenanigans.
Shenan happens.
Schmoz.
The schmoz happens. But the story here, I was going to ask originally, is Ospreay in the Don Callis family? He's never associated with them in any way. But now it feels like there's a split happening there. I want your thoughts on that, Jimmy, but also I think the timing's interesting. Ospreay's facing Brian Danielson. John Moxley's coming back. Ospreay just beat Claudio. Maybe going to face Brian, beat Brian Danielson. Maybe John Moxley in the future. Is that something we might be seeing?
That's a good analogy. I didn't think of that. And I like that direction, if it does go in that direction, because not only do you have him facing someone like a Claudio tonight, which was a great match, but they all have different little bit of different styles. You know, mm-hmm. Claudio's different from Brian Danielson, and John Moxley's different from Brian Danielson. So everybody's a little bit different, and it hopefully it'll show Will Ospreay's versatility working with different style guys with different style, because he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just show it. Let us see it, because he's been all over the world doing it. Now let's see it in front of the cameras here at home where everybody can see it. And, I like the fact that he's kind of toned down some of his stuff. He's not trying to throw, like I always say, 20 pounds of potatoes in a 10-pound bag. He's toning it down. He's making stuff mean. He's placing them in the right places and making it mean more. And I like mm-hmm. that. And, but I like that analogy, put, you know, facing the entire, what are they called now? Because
I think they're the Cincinnati Catch Crew. I don't know.
Blackpool Combat Club. Can we replace Blackpool with another B word, something like that? Is there nobody's from Buffalo, right?
It's a dangerous, dangerous direction you're going, Jimmy. By the way. George, I want your thoughts and your takes on this matchup and the idea that these two are having a match. I mean, this is a very weird dream match when you think about it years ago. Will Ospreay versus Claudio Castagnoli on AEW TV is something that 5 years ago would have seemed ridiculous. So I want your thoughts on all that. And I also want your thoughts on Don Callis as a manager. What do you think about it?
Well, the match itself, what a fun match. Just what a fun match. Ospreay kind of powering out of the swing into the DDT. Holy moly. Mm-hmm. That Ospreay is one talented guy. But yeah, it's everything that we can ask for in a match with those two guys. Obviously Cesaro left WWE because he wanted to have these kind of matches, and rightfully so. And I'm happy that he can do that. I'm happy that Ospreay has got an opponent, like, that's a good name, Brutality Combat Club. I'm glad that Ospreay has, you know, a whole new fresh, and even Cesaro has a whole new batch, to face off. So no complaints about this match. I thought it was great. Don Callis, he's very talented. He knows how to get heat, even going back to his days as the Jackal. Well, apparently, maybe Jimmy knows. Apparently he was a bit of a heat magnet, where he maybe got too much heat back in the WWF, back in the Jackal days. So, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's always got a good mind on his shoulders, and I'm all for the Callis family. I wish there was a little bit more clarity in regards to what Ospreay's role is. I mean, they kind of put him out there right before All In, but they never really like said much after that. I think they just said that he's kind of an honorary member without saying it. So I kind of like that they kind of touched upon that very little, mm-hmm. but I want them to kind of explain a little bit more instead of just kind of trying us to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this, because I think that Don Callis is incredible on the microphone. I think he's an incredible manager. I love Stephen Camp with a throwback that I absolutely love. Don is always going to be the network when he was in ECW. I loved him as representing the network. Great, mm-hmm. great character idea, by the way.
Cyrus, right? Cyrus?
Cyrus the Virus.
The Virus, yes.
Yes. And it's interesting because people always talk about managers and having certain wrestlers with managers. And they always say, here's that person that needs someone to help them get to the next level. But I was thinking about like the best managers and the best pairings. And I was thinking, you got Bobby the Brain Heenan, who's managing guys like, you know, Andre the Giant or Ric Flair, or Jimmy Hart, who's managing Hulk Hogan, or mm-hmm. Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar, CM Punk, Roman Reigns. Do you think maybe we could get the most value out of a Don Callis if we said we're going to pair you up with the biggest star in AEW instead of people we need to elevate, if that makes sense?
I get what you're saying, but the only problem I see with that is Don Callis is such a heat magnet. I think he would attract more heat than whoever he is paired with, Whereas mm-hmm. you take a guy like a Paul Heyman, as you mentioned, Paul Heyman is a master of getting the person he is with the attention, the heat, and the way he presents them, the way he speaks about them, the way he gets them over. Don Callis, don't get me wrong, one of the most underrated guys on the mic, I think, in my opinion. But at the same time, he's a heat magnet himself, and it doesn't translate to the talent as much as it should. It's almost like he's absorbing all that heat. It's kind of like, again, make another analogy to the other guys. This isn't a manager, but when you look at Judgment Day in WWE, Dom is getting all that heat, but everybody else in the club is not getting as much heat as him.
Yes.
If that makes any kind of sense.
Absolutely. And in the interest of time, we're going to go on to our final spot, which, interestingly enough, we're going over. I actually was getting ready to get on the show when Swerve's music hit coming out to the ring. I was like, oh my God, we got to do this. So they have a sit down with Renee. Joe says some words. Swerve says some words. Then they get out to the ring. Swerve calls out Joe. Swerve takes out all the security to get face to face with him, but ends up getting laid out. George, I always talk about how Paul Heyman is one of the best on the mic. Because not only does he build people up, but he's able to put them down in a good way as well about why they're not going to win. And Samoa Joe had one of the best lines at this, where this is just a quick paraphrase, but he was saying that Swerve isn't the fastest or strongest. What makes him special is every time he gets knocked down, he gets back up. That doesn't sound like a champ. That sounds like a punching bag. Uh-huh. And I thought that was just a brilliant way to build someone up, but then also put himself over. Joe is so good on the microphone. Swerve, it feels so authentic as well. I loved their segments here. Any thoughts on it?
I liked it. I did feel like coming into this night, there was still something missing in regards to their buildup. It didn't feel like we're getting a crowning moment for Swerve. So maybe that was implying that maybe he's not going to win on Sunday. But I like that that closing segment where you finally kind of saw, the culminate. You know, obviously they didn't really get physical. I would have liked for maybe the contract or at some point maybe the blood to get incorporated maybe closer to the event and not 2 weeks ago. But for the most part, I mean, I dug it. I mean, it didn't get me more excited for the match on Sunday. But for the most part, like, I'm still excited about it. I feel like we're going to see some good things at Dynasty.
Yeah, Jimmy, where I think AEW excels when it comes to a lot of their stuff, especially on the mic, is where they have guys who feel a little gritty and a little real. And I feel like Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland exemplify that. I think that their banter on the microphone has been great. I think their build has been great. We're not going to give the prediction just yet, but what are your thoughts on this buildup?
No, I enjoy the buildup very much. And I think I'm a Joe guy. I'm a big time Joe guy. I think he's one of those guys that, again, didn't get his chance elsewhere to display what he has. And now he's given that opportunity and he's showing, you know what? Give me the ball. I can run with it. And I almost feel like I don't want to see, I know we're going to get to the predictions later, but I almost feel like I don't want to see him lose the title because he is carrying that championship very well for the company. He's a great representative as a heel right now, but still people are kind of like you said, he's believable. People are buying into him and that's what it's all about. You want people to suspend that disbelief, but with Joe, you're kind of like, maybe he's really like that. He can't trust me. He's a legit tough badass. Can I say that word? Sorry.
I don't
know. You can say legit.
Oh, okay. Thank goodness. Whew.
Somebody's going to get their wig split. So great end of the show. Now we're going to get into our predictions. Everyone, if you want to join along in the chat, feel free to. This is for Dynasty this weekend. And if someone could do me a favor and keep track, if you keep track and let me know, much like Bernie DC did for WrestleMania, which I did not get last place in, Jimmy.
Hey, I'll take the L. Pin me, pay me.
Justin, I think Justin smoked us both, but whatever. Yeah. We were there, so who cares?
Exactly.
So we're gonna do these predictions, and everyone, let me know your thoughts as well. Someone, please keep track. And if I win, I will brag about it forever. If I lose, it's just a game, people. Let's start with Bang Bang Gang, Bullet Club Gold versus the Acclaimed, winner take all, six-man tag team championships. Jimmy, you go first. Who's winning it?
I think more upside if Bang Bang Gang wins it. Jay White is on a roll right now, and I think this is the this is what needs to be done in this match. And don't get me wrong, Acclaimed have lost some steam, and maybe a win would help them, but at the end of the day, somewhere down the road, they can get it back.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think I'm going to go with Bullet Club Gold, which is their official government name. I'm going to go with them because I agree. I feel like you've got some momentum with them as champs, where I feel like if the Acclaimed win, like if they lose, they also can like, oh my God, what's wrong? How do we find ourselves? Let's go back to the tag team division or something. I don't know. But George, what say you?
I'm going to completely disagree with both of you guys. I think it's the Acclaim's time because they need it the most. They have lost some steam. And I think once they kind of go their separate ways from Bullet Club Gold, they're going to finally see, get that momentum back. Plus, I think Jay White, not that he needs to break away from the Guns, but I do think he needs a breakaway from being pinned down by a championship. I think he's going to be much more successful. Just not having that six man aspect of his current career, I guess you can say. So I'm going to go with the Acclaimed.
In the chat, we've got Billy Gunn turns on the Acclaimed as a prediction. Bullet Club Gold. We also got the Acclaimed. So kind of mixed feelings there.
I would like for Bullet Club Austin and Colton's uncle to come back and help Acclaim win. Mm. Bart Gunn.
Right.
Yeah, good old Bart Gunn.
I haven't seen him in a while. I wonder what kind of shape he's in. If he's anything like Billy Gunn, then he's jacked.
Well, if he's on the Billy Gunn diet, because I ran into him on WrestleMania weekend, he's, boy, hasn't changed, man.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. Billy Gunn for AEW champion, man. Every time I see him in the ring, I'm like, he could wallop everybody in here. So Jericho versus Hook for the FTW title. That one was made today. I'm going Jericho. I think Jericho uses wily veteran tactics to get one over on the youngster to teach him a lesson. George, what do you say?
I'm going to go with Jericho, but I think it's going to be more so an actual protege, somebody that actually wants to be under the Jericho learning tree and be in the Jericho vortex that's going to cause Hook the championship and allow Jericho to become the new FTW champion.
George is predicting Sammy Guevara returns. Jimmy, what do you think?
I think there will be a little bit of interference in this match, but I think it's going to be in favor of Hook. I'm going Hook in this one, and Taz is the one who causes Jericho to lose.
Ooh, interesting.
Because they do have a bit of history.
We got a split in the chat as well between Y2J and Jericho. So interesting. Trios match, Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe versus the House of Black. George, you go first on this one.
This one's tough because I mentioned earlier, Edge isn't necessarily there to just win every match. So I'm going to go with House of Black. I think it's going to be their time. I think I hope they win because any team that normally teams together should beat any individual three guys just for the teaming for the first time. So I'm going to go with House of Black.
Oh, Jimmy, that's it. George makes some good points. What do you think?
No, I kind of agree with that. I'm going with House of Black because Copeland, Kingston, and Mark Briscoe don't lose any steam with the loss there. And you could even build up a story if Adam is the one who gets pinned.
Mm-hmm. I actually agree with you guys, but I want to be different. So I'm going to say Copeland, Kingston, and Briscoe.
Oh, come on, ride the train.
No, I don't. I don't jump on the bandwagon. But I actually agree with you guys. But my official pick will be Team Copeland because I want to be different. But,
those in the chat, I hope you're keeping track.
Yep, Tommy's saying House of Black. Killer Demon saying Team Adam Copeland. Carman Live 2 saying Adam Copeland. Will Ospreay versus Brian Danielson in the match of the night. Let's just call it what it is. Jimmy, you get first take on this one.
Ooh, I get first take. This is going to be the one I'm looking forward to the most because this is the one I think is going to be a nice mix of styles here, which Brian Danielson, I almost said it. Brian Danielson is is just a master at all styles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he could bring out the best in Will Ospreay. And I think this one's going to be, I hate to use the term five stars. I think this is just going to be a master class of, because Daniel Bryan is a great storyteller. I want to say Will Ospreay because he's the one who's got the most steam going into this, but I'm kind of thinking maybe there's a swerve there because of the Blackpool Combat Club, which leads to something down the line with him and Moxley.
Mm.
So I'm going to say, Bryan Danielson.
Bryan Danielson. Well,
I know that's not a popular pick, but that's what I'm saying.
I am. I'm going to go for the same reason, because I think eventually this will lead to Moxley versus Ospreay. I'm going Will Ospreay here getting the dub. But George, what do you think?
Will Ospreay, his name starts with W. So how do you bet against him?
Well, ask Jimmy. Yeah.
By the way, real quick, sorry. I liked when Moxie kept saying Will, because he's talking about Will Hobbs. I just thought it was funny. Yeah. That's it.
Carman says, I picked Bryan Danielson because I remember his time in WWE. Beer money, Ospreay isn't losing. Steven Camp, probably a draw. They better not do a draw. On pay-per-view, you can't do that.
But let me ask you guys real quick, because I know we got to move along here, but does Ospreay lose any steam if there is some kind of way they can manipulate where Bryan Danielson does win?
I think they can make it so he can lose without losing steam, for sure.
Right.
Also, losing to Bryan Danielson isn't the worst thing in the world. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He's one of the best of all time. Like, he's presented very strong. Losing to him doesn't hurt anybody, I don't think. Willow Nightingale versus Julia Hart for the TBS championship. And this is my turn to pick first. Oh, geez Louise. I'm going to go Willow Nightingale, because much like we've said for a lot of these, I just feel like you get more story out of Willow Nightingale getting the win than you do out of Julia Hart. She's been the champion for a little bit, and I think it's time to freshen up that division. George, what do you think?
I'm going to go Willow, mostly because it's going to set up the match between Willow and Mercedes at Double or Nothing, which was itself is kind of creating a lot of buzz, a lot of history based on what happened last year. So I'm going to go Willow. I think it's Willow's time too. I think she's been a loyal soldier. She's been great. I think it's time for her to get some championship gold.
Jimmy, the chat is all Julia, Tommy O, Tuck Graf. What do you think?
I hate to sound like I'm climbing on the bandwagon, but I'm gonna make it a three-way sweep here. I'm going with Willow on this one, and I think there'll be a lot of shenanigans, and we'll see the CEO get involved in some form or fashion, and they have a little stare down.
CEO.
Do we know what the letters
stand
for? Yeah. Please, somebody explain it to us.
I think one of them is officer. Chief Elite Officer is what I will say.
Okay.
George, Kyle O'Reilly versus Roderick Strong for the International Championship.
I hope they do a little bit more in Collision. I feel like this one's lacking a little steam, but I'm going to go with Roderick Strong. I think there's a lot more in that for him to do. Kyle just came back, so I feel like they don't need to really just give him just everything as soon as he comes back. I'm still kind of underwhelmed with the whole Undisputed Kingdom, so I'd like to see Roderick at least still trying to get whatever they had back by winning against Kyle O'Reilly.
So wait, you pick Roderick. Yeah. Jimmy, how about you?
Yeah, for the same reason. So it's almost like you're reading my notes there, George.
Yeah.
I'm going with Roderick Strong as well for the same reasons. It's like you said, Kyle O'Reilly coming back so soon, it almost feels like too soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to go Roderick Strong also, because if the Undisputed Kingdom doesn't have this, then they're really not in a good spot right now. So I think they need to have something going. So I'm going to go Roderick Strong as well. Looks like we've got Roderick being mostly the person picked here. Pac versus Okada, Continental Championship. Jimmy. It's your turn, right? Yeah.
I believe
no.
so. No. No, I think George. Is it George?
No.
Me. No.
Jimmy, we'll just start with you. You go first.
Okay. Well, then I'm going Okada.
I'm a professional.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Okada. I got to go Okada here because there has to be a bigger match somewhere down the road for Okada if they lose that championship. And this is no disrespect to Pac because he's a good performer. He's a great in-ring talent, but Okada is the money guy right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm going Okada also. They've invested too much in him to have him take a loss this early on. Mm-hmm. George, how about you?
This is me hopping on the bandwagon. Because I'm also going to go with Okada. I don't think there's any way he's going to lose a championship this soon into his AEW career.
It looks like a lot of people are saying Okada as well. Tutgraf says toughest pick. Ladder match.
The next one.
Yeah, ladder match FTR versus the Young Bucks for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. Oh, I got to go first on this one. I can't steal from you guys. I'm going to go with FTR because... frankly, I think if the Young Bucks win, I don't know. I think after everything that's happened, FTR needs to get the win. That's how is I guess how I'm gonna phrase it, George.
I think this one's the toughest one. I can go back and forth. I'm gonna say FTR is gonna climb up the ladder, and as soon as they're up to get there, Jungle Boy comes in, pushes off the ladder. Ooh. They go through tables, very reminiscent of TLC 2 at WrestleMania 17. Here comes the Young Bucks to grab the AEW Tag Team Championships, and they will be the winner.
I got a few people guessing Manish saying Perry Costs, FTR. So you're saying Young Bucks. Jimmy, I don't know. I feel like FTR has to win, but what do you think?
No, I'm going to go as much as it fits with the storyline of them being EVPs and manipulating a win here in some form or fashion, even getting, you know, help from whoever. I don't want to say Jack Perry. It could be Jack Perry, and maybe that'll help along. But I'm going to go FTR in this one because there are guys who can – when you talk about people who need the title, FTR can use the title more than the Bucks can because the Bucks can get heat anyways without them.
Yeah. Although I will say what I want to see, I want to see Jack Perry come back, cost the Bucks the championships, and kind of come back and say, you know, you're not going to use me, you know, as your pawn. Like, I'm my own person. You guys don't speak for me. I don't want to be affiliated with you guys. And I feel like that can maybe get Jack Perry an even bigger star if he kind of goes up against the EVPs. Kind of like, you know, I never agreed to you guys showing the video, blah, blah, blah. So little thing.
And I'm not your scapegoat. So don't use me.
Like I'm my own scapegoat. Like you guys don't speak for me. Something to that extent.
Cool. Maybe give him that air of gray area where he's there to beat up anybody.
Right. And please tell the referees not to hold the ladders in the ring. Sorry.
Or don't show it.
Yeah.
Don't at least show don't it on camera. It.
Yeah.
We have, George, you're getting Thunder Rosa versus Toni Storm for the Women's Championship. You get first guess.
You can't. I'm not saying you can't, but there's, to me, timeless Toni Storm is the best thing on AEW TV, and you just can't dethrone her right now. I think she needs to have the belt. Not until it gets tiring, but I feel like she's on such a high that you just can't dethrone her at the moment.
So Toni Storm, Jimmy, you agree?
I have a question for you. How long is it till All in Wembley?
I don't know.
August, late August, so maybe 4 months.
I don't know if they could.
That's an eternity in wrestling world.
Yeah, especially in that world. Then in that case, I'm going to go timeless Toni Storm.
Wow.
As much as I'd love to see Thunder Rosa gain it back, I think there will be again shenanigans in this one, and Toni Storm will retain.
I think Toni Storm as well. I think Toni Storm as well because of what my pick for the next match is going to be. But I think that there's some stuff going on with her and Mariah May and Deonna Purrazzo, and there's a little too much meat on the bone in this title reign still. Mm-hmm. And Thunder Rosa just came back, so I think it's okay if she takes a little bit to get back to the title.
Right.
Swerve Strickland, Samoa Joe, AEW World Championship. Jimmy, you called it down the middle for years, but now you got to call a tough one. Who are you picking?
I know a lot of people are thinking it's Swerve's time and it's Swerve's house, But Joe can tear down a house with his bare hands, and I'd like to see that happen. I'd like to see Joe continue and go forward with that championship. So I'm going Joe.
Joe. I'm going Swerve Strickland because I just love Swerve, and I love Joe. God, can't they just be friends?
We all just get along.
I love both these guys. I think it's Swerve's time. I think Swerve is someone who can absolutely change the complexion of this company, and I think make it. Swerve is one of those guys you don't have anywhere else, and I think that he's someone that can be someone that, even though he was in WWE, I think having him as their champion feels like an AEW guy as your champion. I think it's a really big deal for him to be champion, and I think that he wins it at Dynasty. George, what do you think?
I take back what I just said. This one's the toughest one to pick, because tomorrow I'll have a completely different pick. But and obviously we're making it official now. I'm going to go with Joe because I feel like we haven't seen the best of his reign. I feel like he's got a lot more to offer than just kind of facing off against Swerve and Adam Page. And I think this is going to lead up until the big Joe. I feel like Joe versus Ospreay at All In is a bigger match than Swerve and Ospreay. When I feel like Joe can get us there better. No disrespect to Swerve. His time's going to come. I just feel like it's going to be Joe's. It's still Joe's time for now.
They can still swerve.
I saw a tweet from at Miss Kate Fabe. Kate over at Fightful had a great tweet. I want to give her a shout out. It says, "It is absolutely Swerve's time, but there is not a wrong time to have a belt on Samoa Joe." I think that is a very well said tweet. So those are our predictions. Let us know what you think in the comments. We've got an hour and a half, almost as long as Dynamite itself, fellas, so we deserve a pay raise. But
there you go.
I'm not holding my breath. That said, everyone, let us know your thoughts on the show. Jimmy, where can we'll find you online and all the stuff you're working on?
Show had its peaks and valleys, but I am interested in what's going to happen in Dynasty, and let's see if our predictions come to fruition and who wins this little three-way battle here. Oh, we got a little Barry Hill. What's going on there? Uh-oh. And as far
as his record worked out.
Oh yeah, didn't it? Yeah, a lot of padding on the back, but not too many W's. But as far as where you can find me here on Wednesday nights after Dynamite, on Monday nights after Raw with Triple J. And this week I'll be joining you guys, you Jack, and I'm not sure who the third wheel is going to be joining us after SmackDown, but I will be there. Oh, is it George again?
Not this week, unfortunately.
Oh,
interesting. I wonder who it's going to be, but I think it will be you and me, you and I on SmackDown this week.
I think it's our buddy Flobo.
Oh, cool.
Okay. No. It's not. He said he wasn't available this week either. Okay. Sorry. Oh. Carry on.
Okay.
No, we'll figure it out.
And then, of course, you can catch me on the Reffin' It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together. This week, we have the Mac Militant. WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long on, and just some fun road stories. You guys are going to laugh your butts off. It's going to be great. And of course, my Ref and Rants from Monday to Friday and all my social media platforms, where I just critique or whatever I feel. Sometimes it's positive. Sometimes it's a little bit of critiquing, trying to tighten the screws, because again, the opinions expressed on my Ref and Rants are those of me and me alone.
Definitely a good podcast to check out. George, let me know what your thoughts were on the show and where everyone can find you.
Real quick, if you don't listen to Teddy Long on this week's Ref and Rant, they're going to go one-on-one with The Undertaker. Just had to say that. Right. It's a definite improvement. Obviously, I was not a fan of the Jericho promo or Jericho segment. Left more to be desired, obviously. But I mean, overall, just a lot better than what I saw last week. This is probably the last thing I'm going to mention about last week. So just a definite improvement. I'm excited for Dynasty. I think this week's obviously did a lot better to promote Dynasty than last week. So, and we still got Collision. We still got Rampage. So there's still more content. There's still 3 hours of content that we can use to promote Dynasty. Maybe we'll see another match thrown in there. For now, you can follow me at Ghermoza, Ghermoza on all social media. You can follow my YouTube channel, The Wrestling Chatter, TW Chatter. I just opened up like a TikTok, Instagram, all that jazz. So I've been putting up cutting up clips of like my interview with Victoria from a few years ago. So putting that out there for you guys to like. So there's going to be more coming. I got interviews with Coach Vampiro that Jack helped me do. Scotty Riggs, Al Snow, Barry Horowitz.
Vampiro said I asked him the greatest question he's ever been asked, by the way.
What's the question? Subscribe to the Rest of Chatter.
You got to watch the show.
There you go.
So yeah, just so kind of all these clips, like the Barry Horowitz, Jacques Rougeau. Jacques Rougeau was actually one of my favorites. But yeah,
I'm the Mountie. Subscribe. I'm handsome. I'm brave. I'm strong.
No, I'm not the Mountie. Remember, he can't say he's the Mountie.
Oh, that's right.
So you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I am going to be on the SmackDown After Show here on Wrestling Inc. As mentioned, I'm also going to be calling the action for Santino Brothers on Sunday. They've got a show coming up there. You can check that out on Fight TV. We're going up against the real competition, AEW. So you're going to have to make your decision which one you want.
You know what? Go see Santino Brothers live. You can always DVR the other one.
As far as whether or not we're doing an after show, Tut Graf asks, I have not heard of us doing one, but I would follow at Wrestling Inc. for more of that information. In fact, follow at Wrestling Inc. for all of the latest wrestling news. That does it for us. We'll see you on Friday after SmackDown. And until then, I'm clicking that end stream button.
Holla, playa.